Bonjour.
Hello. So today we're going to talk about Luanti, which is a tool that probably you already know. My name is Zughi. My real name is Marco. I'm from Italy. And what is Luanti? Well, probably you already know about the software, but you heard the name Mindtest. And that's us, still us. We changed the name this year, actually. And we're not a game, but we are a game platform. So this is the main concepts you should remember about this whole thing. We're not a game, we are a game platform. So what are game platforms? Well, so games, they are not brought by storks, contrary to children. So in order to get a game, you need some tool, like a game engine, in order to actually make them. Well, if you take these two concepts and you basically merge them together, you obtain what we call a game platform. Oh, it's cut. Well, it says game platform down below. So basically, a game platform is a tool that you can use both to make games, like a game engine, but you can also play those games made by the same tool from within the tool. So like Roblox, basically. Anyone knows Roblox, I guess? Okay, perfect. So, with this in mind, let's talk a little bit first about what you can actually do with Luanti. Well, this is one of the games made with Luanti, and considering that our former name was Mindtest, the first thing that might pop into your mind is, this is the logo. Okay, so, well, this looks like a really famous game, okay? Yes, it started like a clone like 15 years ago, but it became a game platform throughout the years. And now you can, of course, make games like this. This is Luanti. Actually, this is a game made with Luanti. But you can also make games that are completely different. This is chess, for instance. So you still have voxel. Like voxel, the cube, is the main ingredient of our game platform. But you can also make, this is an OS, like this is a bare-bone OS made within Luanti by one crazy contributor. Like this is just nuts, but just try it. It's called Mine OS, and you can launch apps from within Luanti, and you can play games within the game. You can also make 2D stuff, so this is Prang. And there are no cubes. There is no voxel involved. It's just a 2D game where you move the ghosts. And, well, you can also make games like this. This is the winner of the last game jam that we hosted last year. And as you can see, you're a mecha, basically shooting at monsters, and you need to conquer areas. So, what can you do, actually, with this tool? Well, for sure, you can get creative. You can create new games, you can create new mods, nodes, like the cubes, entities, interfaces, and what you're seeing down below actually doesn't exist by default on Luanti. Considering that is a game platform, by default it's empty. Like the first time you download it, it will tell you, uh-oh, it looks like there is no game installed. Would you like actually to download something? And it brings you to this interface where you can actually download games. So there are no dragons, there are no bricks, there are no trees, there are just the tools. It's like a toolbox helping you creating the things you want. So like a map generator system, you can tweak the map generator. Or maybe you don't need a map at all, like you want a custom map that you built, nodes by nodes or cube by cube. Well, you can do that. And how can you create actually all these things? Well, with a really simple programming language, which is called Lua, which is Portuguese for moon, and Luanti, huh? And Lua is pretty easy, it's pretty straightforward. Usually when I do workshops, I do them also with kids. They understand perfectly what we're doing. I consider that like the level up of Scratch. And you can find a modding book, like the Luanti modding book, online for free, of course. And step by step, you can actually learn how to create content without having to dive into the full documentation, which is huge. So, for instance, let's say you want to create a new node. Well, those are five lines, four if you remove the parentheses and you just, well, and that's pretty easy. Just register nodes, you add the description, tiles, and groups is actually, it's not mandatory. Of course, nodes can be more complex. You can have liquids, you can have nodes with physics, but yeah, it just takes three, four lines of code to create something that will shape, actually, your world. The guide is also available in Italian, is free software as well. Everything we're talking about is free software, and you can translate it if you want. So if you can create content with Lua, the engine itself is actually C++, because we need to optimize things. But if you just want to create games or mods, so basically add-ons for existing games, you don't need to learn C++ at all. Like, I make games, I don't work on the engine, and I basically don't touch C++. Now, another thing that I like is that every language matters when you make games, like make Lancer games. Now it's cut, so you can't really see, but basically, we are in the same server, like same PC, two different clients open, one on the left and one on the right. And again, you can't see it, but down below, the one on your left, it says waiting for more players, because I'm like in a queue waiting to play with someone. And on the other side, it says esperando más jugadores, so it's in Spanish. That means that if some content is actually translated in the language I set the client to, I won't see the game in English, or the server, or whatever it is. I will actually see it in my language. Hopefully the translation is good. I can't guarantee you that. But for instance, on my server, we, thanks to contributors, we have 8 different languages, like Chinese, Hungarian, German, French, etc., etc. So yeah, you can actually localize your stuff. Also, let's say you make something, like you make a texture pack, for instance. This is a texture pack. Well, you can share it with the rest of the community. How? There is a database called Content Database. You can actually see it on the official website. And here you can upload whatever you do. It must be free software or almost free software. But if it's almost free software, there is like a big red warning, so you really want to do free software. And people can actually download whatever you did, and they don't need to go on the website and just click download. Now it's in Italian, but anyway, you can download everything from within the client. So you don't need to open browsers, because there is a complete integration, like in the interface. So you just click on download, you choose the game you want or the content in general that you want, and you can download stuff. So it's pretty straightforward. So why do you need this website? Well, first of all, you can obtain more information if you just want to go deeper, and you can leave reviews, like Steam, basically. People can say, okay, I like it, meh, or I don't like it. And again, this is in Italian, but you can also leave a review of the review, like it says utile, which is useful, and non utile, not useful. And these reviews actually help us with the algorithm that determines what is quality content. So let's say for the first time I open Luansi or just Content Database, which is this website, it tells me, okay, so the best mods are, the best games are, and in order to understand which is good, what is good, what is less good, I don't know. It checks for reviews and also downloads and also the reviews of the reviews. So theoretically, if something is highly reviewed, it should be quality content, and it's the first thing that you will see. So you won't just download random stuff that maybe is done in 5 minutes and you'll be like, oh, wait, what's that exactly? It doesn't even work. Probably. So moving on. Well, I don't have to explain to you this because we are at Fosden, but yeah, you can tell us what you think without intermediate steps, because we are basically everywhere. My suggestion, like my personal suggestion, is to use free spaces like Matrix, for instance, or IRC, or bless you, or Mastodon. But you can also find us on Discord and Reddit, and we've got a forum. So pick your poison, basically. So now let's start talking about education. So schools, what can you actually do with Luansi in schools? And, well, practical examples. You could do maybe some projects about urbanism. So this was called Permis de déconstruire, pardon my French, literally. And it was made by, well, French people, of course, by IRI, more exactly. And it was a project where they had to redesign some areas of the municipality of Aulnay-sous-Bois through the eyes of children accompanied by experts. So how it worked? Three steps. One, they chose the area. They wanted to actually redesign, so it could be a neighborhood, it could be whatever you want, really. Second step, they planned on paper what actually they wanted to do. And third, the last step, they used the tool, so Luansi, to actually build what they wanted to see. So, you know, you can't really go with a pickaxe in real life and say, okay, I don't like this pavement, and you just break. I mean, you can do that, but that's not legal. You can use Luansi to do that. And they also actually showcased the project. It was really cool because you can redesign some part of your city digitally. And you might wonder now, okay, but can you imagine the time required to reproduce a physical space in the digital walls, especially to scale? And well, you're right. So for instance, this is OpenStreetMap. This is Liceo Toniolo, which is Toniolo High School. We're in Bozen, Bolzano, Italy. And it's cut, anyway. So it'll take a lot of time to reproduce everything to scale, right? Wrong. It took me an hour, and I had to just wait like this, basically, that this website converted the OpenStreetMap data into a Luansi world. So I received an email after an hour and, I don't know, 15 minutes, saying, okay, this is your world. I just took the world, moved the folder into my Luansi, and ta-da, I was able to actually launch it. Of course, this is just like bare bone. It's just a foundation. There are no street lamps, for instance, crosswalks, and everything you can think about, but you don't really need to build everything from scratch, so you are sparing a lot of time, trust me. Talking about buildings, we could also do something related to history or archaeology. In our example, we have Mind Story, which was made by Julien Cremaux, by the Academy of Dijon a few years ago. And what they did, basically, they had classes from all around France building French sites from different epochs on Luansi. So, for instance, they built the Notre Dame Cathedral, or let's just translate this. It's like the castle and the inner markets of Niort. And this is good because, well, you can share mods, you can share games, you can share texture packs, but actually, how about you want to share like the Notre Dame Cathedral? Well, this is not an official site, but you can still use it. It's called Block Exchange, and you can upload your buildings, your schematics, that's the technical term, onto the website so that people can actually basically copy paste them without any issue. And that it takes you probably, I don't know, 2 minutes. It depends on how large is the building, of course, but I don't know, maybe I want to build the center of London. Let's say that that thing is the Big Ben. It's not, but let's say it's the Big Ben. Okay, I don't need to build everything because, well, that thing already exists. Maybe I need to scale it, but there are tools to do that as well. And well, I don't need to reinvent the wheel. That's the that's a core idea around that. Now, let's keep the cathedral we were talking about, and let's see an application. So, okay, you can't see my meme, that's sad. Well, anyway, it should say like building the cathedral as the first step. So maybe you want to do something in schools and you want people to actually see like a 3D reproduction of the cathedral. Okay, great. Someone builds the cathedral, like maybe like my story. Unfortunately, that's not available, but it might be. Okay, Now, it should say class management mods down below. Okay, so someone made some mods to actually prevent the class to destroy the cathedral because, I don't know, everybody loves to just break nodes, blocks, whatever. So, okay, you reach the second level because if you merge these two aspects, you actually obtain a cathedral that's explorable and people can't really destroy it, which is good. But why stop in there? So, level up. Let's say that someone else adds a dialogue system and you want to use that dialogue system to, let's say, expand the experience of your cathedral. Great. Now you obtain environment interaction. So maybe I click on a wall and it'll tell me something, or I click on a book. The environment, I can interact with the environment. But again, why stop in there? So let's say that upon the dialogue system, somebody actually built a quest system. So now I can introduce quests in my environment, which, well, I obtain basically a super interaction because now you can actually have things like go from point A to point B, or I don't know, talk with that guy, talk with that girl, etc., etc. And yeah, you obtain a project that is completely immersive, basically. But again, why stop in there? Because there is a side effect. The side effect is that part of the class, like at least one or two students, will start voluntarily contribute to the cathedral or to any other project because they had fun, because for them it's just like playing, because they're just coding, basically, or exploring the environment. It depends on what you ask them to do. But the point is that, yeah, you can obtain also free contributions as well. And of course, as a last example, you can of course talk about IT and logic. This was a workshop that I did in Italy called Mini Giochi al Cubo, where we developed a mini game from start to finish in 3 hours. A mini game is a game that you can actually keep playing. It's short, but you can actually keep playing, like probably like, I don't know, Candy Crush. It could be considered some sort of minigame. So what we did, basically, ducks, of course, because I needed to censor them, was they had no clue at all how Lua worked, nor about what Luanti was. And nonetheless, they were able to actually make a minigame that worked, and they were super happy, like, woo! Super enthusiastic, and it was really nice to see. So yeah, you can also teach them how to code. That's pretty well. So yeah, I'll probably stop here in case there are any questions. This is the official website. You will find a blog, for instance. You will for all the updates. You'll find the content database we were talking before. You can download Luanti for basically any platform out there, BSD, free BSD, whatever. It's there. I swear to you, it exists. And I don't know if there are other questions, but thank you for listening. And yeah, 10 minutes. Okay. We have 5 minutes, so yeah.
The question is about content moderation. As a project, have you had to deal with anyone like uploading malicious something as a plugin or anything like that?
Well, they can't really do that.
Has it been to make sure that everything's, like, if I just turn my kids loose on Luanti and say, yeah, download whatever, are they going to install a Trojan horse?
All right, so basically every content uploaded on ContentDB is not automatically accepted. There are human people actually checking that, you know, the license is good, that the code is not bad. I mean, it's not like, it's not trying to do nasty stuff with your computer. So no, there is a human moderation for contents uploaded in there. Also, we have a labeled system. So some content is, let's say, 18 plus probably, like, I don't know, gore, violence, drugs, whatever. So by default, for instance, on Androids, all the content that has one of these labels is not visible. You have to go into the settings and just do stuff. So yeah, they won't see any content that probably is not, it doesn't fit their age. Yeah. Question.
I really love the workshop for the
Probably there are. I mean, I wasn't the one doing the education, like the OpenStreetMap workshop, but the two guys that did, actually, they are available at our booth, which is in the K building. And there is a whole section on our website called Education. So these are just some of the projects that were actually involved, that actually used Luansi, but there are many more, also from like Africa, Asia. So I invite everyone actually to, if you're interested in education, to check the websites and discover more. But there is some like documentation, some files about that. Yeah, definitely. Also, for instance, my thing about doing the mini game was actually a wiki that I wrote a few like months ago, and then actually a few years ago, and I just converted it into a workshop so people didn't have to read the wiki, but it was just me showing people the wiki without like interactively. That's it. Okay, I think we're good. Okay, see you at our booth if you want, Building K.